Hello,
Internet.
Oh, and it makes you so proud to hear that, doesn't it? Yes, good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Welcome once more to ESE Insight's Daily Look backstage at the Junior Eurovision Contest happening this Saturday. I'm Ewan Spence, your host, and with me two more Eurovision experts to look over the rehearsals, to look over the dramatics, the performance, the histrionics, the held notes, the slipped discs, and these occasionally interesting pianos. In the background, you can hear the rehearsals for the interval act, and it's last year's winner, Gaia Cauchi, yeah. And yeah. You can see our first guest, Mark Alea Bayless, is suddenly, it's just like Maltese ears just go up going, yeah. That's our song for the next 150 years, that's all we're going to hear.
No, the thing is, this is a different song, this is a new song.
It sounds exactly like the old song, it's Difficult second album. It's like Please Please Tell Me Now in Rio from Duran Duran, they're both the same song, except one of them is on a boat and one of them is in a shipyard. Oh,
we're in a shipyard. Yeah. So.
Exactly. You see comedy callbacks building it up there. Mark Alea Bayless joins us from ESC Flash Malta. Of course, delighted that Eurovision's in Malta. You can sleep in your own bed.
Yeah, of course. I finish from here. I go home.
Lovely. We go back to the hotel. The very posh.
No, I go back to New York.
You go back to New York.
Every single night.
Not every night.
Alternating nights.
Yes. Yeah. Jet lag kicks you off. Emma Backfish joins us from Meanwhile in Europe as well, broadcasting fortnightly out of WKRP. No, it's not WKRP.
Yeah, I wish. No, out of WUSB-FM in Stony Brook, New York.
Stony Brook, famous for its Stony Brook. There's one for the Scots listeners there. We're going to plow through and take the last batch of songs in terms of dress rehearsals, performance, and the stage show that they're putting on to go through them. So we're going to be touching on Belarus, on Malta, and Slovenia, but we shall start with Serbia. Serbia here, as we've spoken to them about them on Jukebox Jury, coming in with a typical Balkan ballad with very, very discreet staging. There's a piano that Emilia starts off playing, and she gets up and she sings. It is so simple.
Yes, it's subdued, but it's beautiful in its subtlety, I think. But I don't know if it sticks out because of that. I don't know if kids will really connect to her being behind the piano and then getting up and not really using a catwalk as effectively as she could have been using it during this. So I'm not sure.
It is a very interesting one. She's running 14th out of 16th. She's essentially the last slow song, depending on how you want to pitch Malta. But we will come to that in a second. And when we look at two countries are going for 100% jury voting, San Marino because they just can't get the phone system to isolate between Italy, and also Slovenia because they want to put it on the main channel, so they're doing it 1 hour later on a 1 hour time delay, so they have to go 100% jury. Now, those are grown-ups, same jury makeup and style as at Adult Eurovision, although different jury members, which means there's a slight bias in the voting towards the adult watcher. I think that's going to help Serbia.
I mean, if we're talking about that, the addition of the adults voting in the juries, then maybe. But I feel like even there are better songs that do something that are giving that same feeling that the Serbian song is giving. So I think Slovenia do it better than Serbia is delivering. But I still don't think it's going to crash and burn. I think it's just possibly not going to be as memorable as some other songs.
I think it's interesting that this Serbian song is actually probably more grown up than the last Serbian song at Eurovision.
Yeah, that is amazing. I don't know how they managed to do that. The thing is, with Serbia, you have this typical traditional Balkan ballad, something that has been very successful for them. They're coming here, but they have, I don't know, a different type of performer, because normally they went for younger performers than Emilia. So this is a teen performing an older type of ballad. And as Emma said, I don't know whether the audience in the arena and at home will connect properly with the song, even though it is performed remarkably well.
I mean, in terms of how it fits into the performance, we have a producer-led running order mostly. The first and the last songs were drawn out of the hat. Malta's position was drawn out of a hat. It drew 15th. And then they were split into top half, bottom half. So the decision has been to use Serbia almost as a sorbet, just to clear for that final run. going in. It's, I feel Serbia, even though they're running third last, it's possibly going to get stuck in that draw. It's just doesn't have, it just doesn't have the whirr to actually get a hold of you and stick in your mind. It comes after Russia, which is just going to have a little tiny thing that sings. And then you have Malta, which is, it's not very tiny thing that's, oh, it can sing. And Serbia's in the middle. She's just like, oh, I'm in a piano. Lovely song to listen to. We'll still probably score very well, but we'll see how we go on. Who should we move on to? Let's move on to Slovenia, because we've actually just been talking about them just now. Nisi Sam from Ula Lazar. You just want to take her home, don't you?
She is so adorable. I am not a mother yet, but she her first rehearsal, her first run through, was very impressive. I wasn't sure if she'd be able to. You're just never sure if anybody who's going up on the stage is able to really hold it together, even at the adult contest. But she really did deliver a great vocal on her performance. And even though it is a simple song, I think she was controlling the stage quite nicely for her size.
She was also controlling the rehearsal as well. Her monitors, in-ear monitors, were not working, and unlike other performers at the adult contest, they just kind of soldier on. She's just like, no, we're stopping. Yeah. Comes out, she's just like, this doesn't work. Yeah, no. Now, whether that's confidence in the artist, or whether it's just a young person going, this doesn't work, we have to stop, it actually gave this wonderful air of professionalism that I know that many others who've not been at regular Junior Eurovisions are just surprised at. You know, this is a big concert, and the people who are on stage are performing really know what they're doing.
Yeah, she knows what she's doing. She seems to be very, very professional when she goes on that stage. She knows what she needs to do, and she performs well. The song in itself, I think, is a letdown, considering her vocal. I feel like it is slightly dull. In my opinion, it is slightly dull. Even though I can hear it on the radio, but wouldn't be a song that I would pick up the phone and vote for it, in my opinion, always. I love her, the way she presents herself, the clothing, the voice, everything about her screams winner, but everything about the song doesn't.
It's interesting because it's that classic Eurovision thing that I'm, you know, for those of you who don't know, every Eurovisionsong.com, I'm looking at every single Eurovision song. Oh, 1,356 of them in the space of 1 year. And it's amazing how many songs that have done well have that call to action in the song. There's a moment, there's something that just makes you go, I want that song to do well. And this doesn't have one.
Exactly. That is the problem that I have with this song, because if it had that sort of feeling, it doesn't evoke that feeling in me that, yes, this is the song I want to win. Because otherwise I would have liked that.
I'm going to flip these around now. We'll take Belarus as our next song, because we've got Malta at the end and they're hosting, and Mark's here as well, so we better push them to the end, otherwise he gets very, very upset. Let's go with Belarus next. SoCal translates as Falcon, coming from Nadezhda. You know, I've got 15 singers this year I can just about manage.
We're waiting until you get this right.
Really? Oh, jeez.
You'll get it eventually.
I'm just going to cheat and click through the Wikipedia page and hope it's got a pronunciation guide in Russian. Yeah, that doesn't help me at all. Nadezhda Miskiova.
I'll take it. Yes. Fair enough.
Yeah, right. Irrespective of that, you've missed me getting the translations wrong, listener. Be honest. not the first time she's tried. She was in the national selection process for Junior Eurovision last year with Delovoya, placed 9th. Relatively far back, but worked through with SoCal this time, on a countback, it has to be said. But now she's got here, this is a song again that just reeks of professionalism.
Yeah, I mean, Belarus know what they're doing when they come to Junior Eurovision. They are like Georgia in that sense, and just seeing this, the first run through of this, the elements were very tight on stage. She knew what she was doing with that camera and her backing singers, dancers also knew what they were doing, and it was very nice to see. And it's an interesting sounding song. There's a ethnic sound to it that makes it very interesting, but I don't know exactly if kids are going to connect with that sound.
Yeah, we're back to that sort of call to action question. What I have found impressive is the similarity and the echoes it has of the official video. So there is that, if you've been watching the official videos, this is one of the few that sort of goes, oh yeah, that was what that one looked like. And there's also the fact that, you know, there's lessons in this one. If we look at what Molly did for the United Kingdom in adult Eurovision, she just did not get the ethnic look right in her costume. I just want to say, Molly, dress like that. And same with her hair. She's got two feathers in her hair. It's just like, and I just want to go to Joan Franca. Like that.
Yes.
That's what you should have done. And it's just like Belarus are just schooling everybody.
Even at Junior Eurovision, they're schooling the adults. It's amazing.
It's just... it's that sort of quirky song. There's always one at every Eurovision, and it might not do well, but it does stand out, certainly in the fans' mind.
Yeah, yeah. Ideally, I mean, this is the sort of song that has been translated from the video almost by perfection, literally. You would see it there, and you would see it here. That is the type of song we've seen. In terms of the ethnic element, I love that Belarus have kept it very traditional. This is something that most countries haven't done, and that is something that they have kept for the past couple of years.
It's in general in Eurovision, there's that question of, do you go for mainstream Euro pop sound, or do you go for something that's your country? And, you know, for myself, from the 80s, certainly, when I was first experiencing Eurovision, it was always, I want to see the other cultures, I want to hear what they're about. And Junior has more of that, but... you know, there's still that tendency to go to sort of relatively formulaic, relatively safe, relatively accessible. So good on Belarus.
Good on Belarus.
That's what I say. Yes, I love Belarus. There we go. Okay, calm yourself down. Pin down Mark, because he's just going to start bouncing. Because if he starts bouncing too high, we're going to go through the tents and the roof, because it's time for us to talk about Malta. Malta, our hosts. And let's face it, after last year, Guy is never going to have to work ever, ever again. It's most important person in Malta, the only person in Malta who's ever won anything of consequence. There isn't even a single bronze medal in the junior heptathlete mini Olympics that have been happening since 1954. Malta's done nothing on the international scene, and Gaia comes along and everybody loves her apart from Kiara and Ira Losco and probably quite a few other people as well. Mark, before we go and talk about Federica's song, just very briefly, what does Gaia winning Eurovision mean for Malta?
I don't know. She became a household name overnight. We consider her as our national hero nowadays. And being given the Medal of Honor by the Prime Minister was something amazing. But, you know, we had been wanting to win a major event for so long.
Since 1964, really, yeah, when exactly. She left the United Kingdom. You know?
Exactly. So for us to actually have someone who is talented finally be awarded with such a victory was impressive.
And it's also, watching from outside, the fact that Gaia appears to still be relatively grounded.
Yeah, definitely. She is. She's grounded. She still goes for lessons.
I mean, she's not grounded as in you're not getting out. That's it. No more for you.
She's amazing. She keeps on attending lessons daily. She makes sure to balance her schoolwork with her career. She knows what she's doing. She travels, and the next day she's in school. So that is the type of person Gaia is.
Isn't it lovely? And of course, we are going to be seeing her again on the night. We'll get a winner's reprise, which doesn't always happen at the Junior Eurovision Song Contest, depending on hosting. We're also going to get the obligatory difficult second album that's coming in, and the lead single off that one in the interval act. All of that's to happen. But really, there's this quiet... I'm not sure if the word confidence or hope... Or dream for Frederica that, you know, you want to become the Ireland of Junior Eurovision, don't you?
Yeah, of course, definitely. Who wouldn't?
Ireland. Yeah. The entire island, apart from the fact that they love hosting it and there's signs everywhere, really feels they can do the double.
Yeah, definitely. When we saw, or rather heard, Frederica for the first time, we said that she is a true diamond. Okay, so
I like what he did there.
See what you did there.
We knew that she had international potential, and it is good for PBS to select her internally, coming off an international victory in the Italian television show La Show No Canzone. So,
where she's dumped all over the Italian singer.
Yeah, exactly.
In the competition.
In the competition. No, he's still alive.
He's coming here a little bit bruised. I'm going to win. Who am I up against? Frederica. Nuts.
Yeah.
Or whatever the Italian is for that.
I don't know what to call it, whether it is an aura of confidence or just plain hope, to be honest.
I'm plain hope.
Yeah, but we're enjoying every second of her voice.
It is a voice, Emma, that is utterly distinctive throughout the whole 16. There's, you know, where last year Gaia was a ballad and there were echoes of it in the other song, it's very close to the Russian song. Frederica's went for sort of popera approach that she has here, and it's more classical opera than pop, and it's running 15th, it stands out, and it is a moment where you have no choice but to watch the television.
Right.
Or the stream, or the radio speakers, or whatever.
Right. I mean, I remember getting chills listening to Gaia sing it when I was in Kiev last year and thinking, oh, she's like a little mini Celine Dion. This is amazing. She's so impressive. And I was so happy she won. And then I wasn't really rating Frederica very much until I got here, saw her do her first run through, and I said, this girl is... she's on another level than all the other competitors. It's something so unique and so different, and she's going to stand out, and it's going to be so good to see her performing to a home crowd as well. I think she's really going to feed off of that.
Now, we should flag up, Malta does have home advantage here, and with children, she's in her own bed at night, She knows where she is. She's around a lot of people, While all the other contestants have brought a support mechanism with her, pretty much, apart from the Italian male, everybody else is female. Frederica has her all her support network here, so she does have a distinct advantage. I flag this up and I get shouted down a lot, but I'll bring it up here again on record. My only concern is the mismatch of the visual. If you close your eyes, and what you hear is this operatic song. And for those of you who are going to be listening to Song Contest with us here on ESC Insight Radio 6 and our radio partners and listening online on the radio streams, it sounds utterly unlike what you actually see on the screen. You're expecting a Catherine Jenkins. You're expecting a Maria Ehrman. But what you're getting is a little tiny pocket rocket that's just like, really? And I wonder what that will... everybody else in the press room, I'm going to say everybody listening, has convinced me that this will be a good thing. But it's just this tiny little itch in the back of my head.
I mean, I can see that. I can see it. There is that bit of concern that I have. But I also think it has that Britain's Got Talent element to it where you have this...
But we don't have Piers Morgan!
Yay! But So I think you have a really cool image mismatch with this voice, and people will look at that and say, that's so cool, I need
and
to
it's
vote
really,
for that.
And let's see, drawing 15th is probably the best they could draw. The Netherlands afterwards is a very repetitive, very catchy pop song, but it's, quite frankly, it's a souffle of a pop song. Once you leave Junior Eurovision, you're not going to be going round and round and round and round. Yeah, I can't even remember it now. It just kind of... And the Netherlands will be hoping that it keeps up enough momentum to get it through just the voting period. Whereas, like Gaia's song, this one is... I sound like I'm waxing lyrical here. But this has a class that will transcend the ages.
Yes, it will.
Yeah, this is a song that you will keep on hearing, I think, well after the Junior Eurovision.
Irrespective of where it finishes.
Definitely, because it might have not even been written for a competition, for example. It could have been just written for a show. And her type of voice would be more suited to these type of shows. I don't know, like the summer concert we have here in Malta, the one of Joseph Kalea, where she actually performed. So that is what Federica will be doing, probably. She won't be... I don't think she will be a candidate for future Eurovisions, because I don't think she is that typical pop type of artist.
No. She's wanting Madison Square Gardens.
Yeah, exactly. I think she would be selling out venues
abroad. Or the Royal Albert Hall. This is an RAH girl right here. Yeah.
Yeah. And you were mentioning the Netherlands afterwards. The thing is, probably people would still be talking, ooh, that girl with the operatic voice while the Netherlands is on. And that is going to help a lot. Because by the time the Netherlands finishes, the contest is over.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be close, though. I think now we've went through all 16 in the previews, there are 6 or 7 songs that you could legitimately argue, if they won the contest, you can say, I understand why that song won the contest. And probably any of the 16, there are hints of why they could win. I mean, I'll be honest here, if the Peppermints were to win, I would be absolutely and utterly shocked. But at the same time, girl bands, yeah, competently put together.
Would you be shocked if
Josie won? No, actually, because Josie's already won. She's won Best Merchandise Junior Eurovision 2014.
And Best Personality.
Yeah,
and, but not Best Jelly Beans, I don't think.
We'll find out later on that one. And we'll have photos. But when we go to regular Eurovision, it's usually, in the last couple of years, it's usually been there's one clear song.
Yeah.
That's going to win, 2 or 3 chasers, and no surprises.
Yeah, definitely.
We don't have that at Junior.
Best lineup in years.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, I mean, you look around and down there. Malta, yes, can see that going. Russia, easily see that. Italy, can see that going as well. You know, Georgia and Armenia, they're sort of on the bubble. Serbia's on the bubble. You could put them in as well.
I think it could be very close come the end of the evening, too.
You know, we've got Bulgaria as well. If there's a sudden, you know, if everybody suddenly decides to swing behind Bulgaria, even though they're running second, boom, 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 it's walked it. How much fun. Yeah.
Excitement. Whoever thought you knew Eurovision could be this exciting and nerve-wracking? Yes.
There's a couple of people. There's also a couple of comedy answers I could put in there that would get me into a lot of trouble.
Let's not go there.
I'm Ewan Spence. This is your previews carrying on for ESC Insight Radio 6 online and on the FM dial around the world. Great pleasure to have your company listening, and also great pleasure to have the company of my guest, Emma Backfish from Meanwhile in Europe.
MeanwhileinEurope.com and www.wusb.fm to listen live.
We got to get some more syndication on there before next week. Marklea Bayliss from ESC Flash Malta.
ESCFlashMalta.com.
Bringing you not only the best of Junior Eurovision, but Malta's national final mask coming up next weekend, which will be streamed live from the PBS website. So you can follow all the action there of the semi final and the final. And we'll always have continuing coverage of Eurovision back at ESCInsight.com. Junior Eurovision is coming up in the next couple of days, so do keep listening. And, we still got more to talk about. There's dress rehearsals to go through. There's a scoring from Friday night. Half of the marks is going to be allocated then. We've got all of that to pick over and to come up. It's great to have your company. Keep listening. The excitement is building. The tension is ratcheting up. And we're keeping score. Okay, Mark, you practiced this one. It's now...
building bridges.
No!
I know, I just invented it.
No!
Can I, acoustic guitars?
We don't have acoustic guitars.
I don't care.
You don't care.
No.
Fair enough. Right then. here are guitars and on acoustic guitars.
Yeah,
Mark just doesn't understand tradition.